That introduction to the Gospel of Luke there says that his Gospel is written for you, most excellent Theophilus. Who's Theophilus? The Greek name literally means one who loves God. So Luke is writing his Gospel for those who love God. If we strive to love God, his Gospel will make a lot more sense to us. There was a family who had a severely handicapped daughter named Cecilia. When their other daughter, a very talented and beautiful young woman, wrote her college application essay on the person who had taught her the most, she wrote about Cecilia, who taught her about love, about our worth not being in what we can do, and about focusing not on our needs, but on the needs of others. Is it the needy who need us, or we who need the needy? Right? We're all needy. St. Paul, in that second reading today, says, "Brothers and sisters, as a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ." Now, I'm going to pause right there. Paul didn't say, "so also the body of Christ." He didn't say, "as a physical body is one with many parts, so also the body of Christ is one with many parts." He said, "as the physical body, so also Christ." You're not just the hands of Christ, or the foot of Christ, or the mouth of Christ, or the eyes of Christ. You're Christ. All of Christ dwells in you, walks in you, sees in you, speaks with you, loves through you. Now, don't get a big head, right? Keep a little perspective here. We also tend to ignore Christ, reject Christ, and sin against Christ, which is why we need God's mercy and forgiveness. But St. Paul's point remains. We're not just part of Christ. We're not just an appendage of Christ. The whole of Christ is in each one of us. Just as the whole of Christ is in each host in the tabernacle, in every chalice consecrated on the altar. Another way to think about it is kind of like this. You know, we might divide a body up into parts, right? Feet, hands, knees, nose, eyes, ears, etc. But my soul is one soul that fills and animates every part. I don't have a foot soul and a head soul and a leg soul. There's just my soul which permeates every part of me. There's just Christ who permeates each and every one of us. So how then do we act? How then must we act? Christ has given each of us different gifts, but Christ permeates each of us completely. And so those gifts, though different, are each noble, needed, necessary, because Christ is completely present with each gift. Is the gift to teach more noble than the gift to fix? Is the gift to be just and fair more noble than the gift to be daring and creative? Is the gift of Down's syndrome less noble than the gift of verbal skills? Is the gift of emotional sensitivity less noble than the gift of stoicism? Is the gift of musical talent less noble than the gift of athletic talent? Each one of you are different than anyone else here, but you're no less needed, noble, and necessary. Is there any of us who can really say that because I have these skills or those skills, because I have lots of money or lots of friends, or even because I have anxiety and don't like crowds, that therefore I don't belong to the church? Therefore, I don't need the church. That's crazy. They don't, for any of those reasons, belong any less to the church or to Christ. They don't belong any less to Christ. we are not any less in need of Christ. Because in the end, we'll all be judged in love. Meaning not just did I develop and use my talents and gifts, but did I develop and use my gifts and talents for others? Meaning, was I kind toward others who had different gifts or different talents or different temperaments than me and mine? Meaning, how easily did I fly off the handle when someone else crossed me? Or when my will or my timetable was interfered with? If my gifts are all about me, then it could well happen that in the end, Jesus leaves me to myself. And in the end, we would call that hell. This is not really a homily about diversity. It's a homily about looking at those others that challenge you or hurt you or unnerve you or infuriate you, and remembering that the whole Christ is in them, just as the whole Christ is in you. And our goal is not to solve that person or fight that person or ignore that person. Our challenge is to love the Christ in that person. To love the particular gift or gifts that Christ has given that person. I may not like your personality, but I can love the truth that Christ loves you and dwells within you and has gifted you in one way or another. In the first reading, the priest, Ezra, reads the book of the law, the word of God, and the people weep. They're so moved at being back in the Holy Land and hearing God's word. But nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. They'll still break the law. They'll still not keep the word. In the gospel, however, the great high priest, Jesus, reads from the prophet Isaiah. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor." Anointed him. When he was baptized in the Jordan, the Spirit came down and remained and anointed him. Just like when we were baptized, the Spirit did the same thing for us. Jesus continues quoting Isaiah, "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." And then Jesus says something that was never said in the history of the people of Israel, or even from Adam and Eve up to his own time. "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And for the first time in human history, a human being is able to fulfill the law of the Lord. And I can hear people say, "Well, that was Jesus. He's God. Good for him." That's not me. And it's like we use that as an excuse in order to stay the same. Right? My sainted mother loves to say, "You know how you can tell a German? You just can't tell him much." Talking about my father, of course. But we don't have to be German like that. We don't have to be. We can all grow accustomed to the life of just settling. "Well, it's not perfect, but I can live with it." "Well, maybe a sin, but there are worse sins." No, don't just settle. When we take on that attitude, the devil laughs. Because he'll get us to just keep on settling until we've settled all the way to Hades. But the vision that God has for us is so much greater. Christ in you. Christ in me. The whole Christ. The fulfilled Word of God. The more we read and love the Word of God, the more we can come to recognize and love the Christ in us and in those around us. So here's the homework for the week. With as many people as you can this week, love the Christ in them. Love the fact that Christ dwells in them. The fact that Christ loves them. Be happy for them in that regard. Whether they're happy or not, right? They may not be happy, but you be happy for them that Christ loves them and dwells within them. They belong to Christ.